Good morning. If you would like, you can turn to Hebrews chapter 8 this morning. Hebrews 13, excuse me. Hebrews 13. Just a few yesterdays ago, my kids were younger, and we were at my parents' house. I don't remember what they did exactly, but it was something that as a boy, my parents would have jerked a knot in my tail for doing. And as I was about to do the same thing to my children that they had done to me, I'm interrupted by my parents. "Oh, it's all right. Don't be so hard on them." By the reactions I'm seeing this morning, many of you can relate to that, especially the part that I looked at them going, "Who are these people and what have they done with my parents?" The answer, of course, is that they are now grandparents and not parents. And that caused me to think, when Jacob called his sons together before he died, part of the words he spoke to Reuben were, "unstable as water." Isn't that a good description of all of us? We're unstable as water, constantly changing, and left to ourselves, we will follow a religion that is like unto us. That religion that says the God of the Old Testament is a God full of vengeance, full of wrath. But the God of the New Testament is a God of mercy and love who knows nothing of vengeance and wrath. They change the immutable God into something that he's not. And we would be just like him. But how we thank God that he has revealed the glorious news to some. Verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. The author of the letter to the Hebrews is coming to the close of his letter. And he's summing up the message that he's been trying to convey. Throughout the letter, he declares Jesus Christ is better. He's better than the types. He's better than the ordinances. He's better than the law. Jesus Christ is better. He's declared Christ to be the fulfillment of all the types and figures. In this letter, he has declared Jesus Christ is, or who Jesus Christ is, and here he declares that who Christ is yesterday is who he is today and who he is tomorrow. With this in mind, let's walk through this letter together and see some of what he's revealed of our Lord. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. The first thing we have declared about our Lord Jesus Christ is He is God. Specifically, He is God the Son. God hath spoken unto us by Son, the brightness of glory and the express image of God. Paul wrote in another place, "For in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." When we see our Lord Jesus Christ, we see God. John 14, 8 and 9 says, "Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father?" As God, our Lord is the great revelator. Verse 2, God hath in these last days spoken unto us. Christ speaks to and shows us the things of God. Again in verse 2, Christ is the Creator. God hath spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Christ is the maker, the creator of physical worlds, such as the planets, the worlds of plants and animals, the worlds of governments, and of spiritual worlds. Do you find, as you go about the daily task of living in this present world, a longing to escape? Do you look forward to how pleasant and relaxing it is when we come together as a congregation and the Lord is pleased to block out for at least a little time this world of sin? When we come together to worship and to contemplate the hope of the world that is to come? It is Jesus Christ that made the world. Verse 3, Jesus Christ, being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the one who purged our sins. He, the eternal God, before the foundation of the world, laid down His life for a sinful, rebellious people that He loved. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, before the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ purged our sin. Jesus Christ, the same today, purged our sins today. Jesus Christ, the same forever, purged our sins. Our Lord is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Again in verse 3, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. And then in verse 8, but unto the Son He saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Thy kingdom. The first thing we see of our Lord, it revealed in Hebrews, is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the revealer of the things of God, the creator of worlds, the one who purged our sins, and the mighty King. Next, we see Jesus Christ, the man. Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. We need to pause here. When Abram was about 4 years old, we were out doing some yard work, and he looked up at me, and he said, "Daddy, can God die?" What a glorious question to meditate upon. Can God die? We have just seen declared Jesus Christ is God, the eternal living God, having no beginning and no end. And now we see Jesus Christ suffered death. How can it be? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever, is a man. Paul wrote without controversy, "Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." Jesus Christ is the God-man. He's not half God and half man. He is God manifest, meaning to make visible or known what has been hidden or unknown. Christ is God manifest as man. Mankind, due to our fall and rebellion against God, cannot approach unto God. God, should he consider a man in and of this man's sinful flesh, who has been ruined by the fall, who is dead in trespasses and sin, he would consume that man, this man, in justice and wrath. Our Lord took on our nature. He, as a man, fulfilled the law of God. Then to satisfy the law that we had broken and held in disdain, he took our sin and shame upon himself. And he endured to its satisfaction the just punishment of our sin. Hebrews 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Jesus Christ, God the Son, is Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. Hebrews 3:1, Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Christ is the apostle, the messenger of God. If we are to know God, it is Christ who must reveal him to us. Our Lord said in Matthew 11:27, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." As God, the Son, Christ is the revealer of God. As man, he is the apostle, taught of God with the message of God. Continuing here in verse 1, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. Christ Jesus is our high priest. Turn over to chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever, is our high priest. He is our unchangeable high priest. Go over to chapter 7, verse 24. Chapter 7, verse 24. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for him, for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the psalm. We have such an high priest, who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, and not man. What is the responsibility given to the high priest? Verse 3, for every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. What did he offer? Look back in chapter 7, verse 27. Who, our Lord Jesus Christ, needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins. For our Lord has no sin. As verse 26 says, he is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. And then for the peoples, he has no need to offer up a sacrifice for his own sins, and then for the peoples. For this, the offering of sacrifice for the people's sin, he did once when he offered up himself. Jesus Christ himself is our sacrifice. Turn over to Hebrews 9, verse 11. Hebrews 9:11, but Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Skip down to verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Not only is he our sacrifice, but he is our effectual sacrifice. Hebrews 10, verse 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Our Lord Jesus Christ is God the Son, the man, the apostle, the high priest, who offered himself as the sacrifice. And because his sacrifice is accepted, he is our rest. Hebrews 4, 9-11 says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Because his offering is accepted, he is our surety. Hebrews 7, 19-22 says, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest, for those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. He is our rest, he is our surety, he is our mediator. Hebrews 9:13-15 says, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Christ is our rest, our surety, our mediator, and he is our faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Verse 2 of chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now turn over to chapter 13, verse 7. Jesus Christ our Lord is our faith. Chapter 13, 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith, not the man who spoke, but the faith, or the Christ, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. What is the end of their conversation? Where did the pastors, the teachers, the apostles, the Old Testament saints, where did they place their faith, their hope? Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever. One final thought. How important is it to our salvation that our Lord Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday and today and forever? It is the only hope we have. Malachi 3:6 records our Lord saying, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, because I change not, ye sons of Jacob, Jacob, a supplanter, that trickster, Jacob, the son of the promised seed, Jacob, the son of the friend of God, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Jesus Christ, God the Son, who speaks to us the things of God, the Creator, the one who purged our sins, the mighty King. Jesus Christ, the man, the apostle, the high priest, the sacrifice. Jesus Christ, our rest, our surety, our faith. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. To those he chose, called, justified, and sanctified, what is our response? Chapter 13, verse 10. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. He is our altar. As our high priest, he took his sacrifice himself and offered it upon his altar himself. And now we have an altar, adding nothing to it, lest we pollute his finished redemptive work. We come to our altar, in verse 15, we come to our altar by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever. Amen.